Discernment, timing, and the church. Welcome back, friends. We're discussing devotion to the Holy Face. We have now seen the moment in which a work is entrusted. It was not sought, it was not constructed, it was given, and it was given in a way that was precise and direct. So before moving forward, it is necessary to understand what we're looking at and how the church receives something of this kind. What was given to Sister Mary of St. Peter belongs to what the church calls private revelation. It does not belong to the deposit of faith. It is not required for relief, and it does not add anything to what has already been revealed in Christ. At the same time, it is not dismissed. It is received cautiously, tested, and when appropriate, permitted to assist the faithful in a particular time and circumstance. This testing is not abstract, it is concrete. It passes through obedience, through time, and through conformity with what the church already teaches. We've already seen this in her life. When the work of reparation was first communicated to her, she did not act on it freely. She wrote it down, submitted it to her superiors. They forbade her to occupy herself with it. They removed the prayers and trusts instructed to her not to think about the matter, and she did not resist. She obeyed. This is the first point of discernment. The work remains under obedience. At the same time, the interior experience did not disappear. She describes it as something that remained with her with intensity, like a fire that could not be expressed outwardly. There was a desire to speak, but that desire was governed by obedience. She continued to write what she received and to present it only under authority. The second point appears in the timing. France had undergone a profound transformation. The revolution had weakened the visible structure of the church and introduced a way of thinking that no longer took God as its reference point. Nothing in her life suggests that she was chosen for influence or visibility. She was not placed in a position of authority. She did not possess a public voice. What we see instead is a soul that had been formed through correction. All right. At a certain moment, yes, a further point of discernment appears in the form of external confirmation. At a certain moment, a pamphlet fell unexpectedly into the hands of the Reverend Mother. It contained a call to reparation for blasphemy against the holy name of God, expressed in language and urgency that closely matched what had been communicated to her. The pamphlet had been published years early and was connected to a prior Carmelite movement of reparation. This shows that what she received was not isolated. It had appeared before. It was now reappearing in a new moment. And at the same time, the church was already moving. In that same period, August of 1843, Pope Gregory XVI authorized a confraternity of reparation for blasphemy in Rome. This does not identify her experience with that movement, but it shows that the concern was present within the life of the church. And there is one further clarification. The work of reparation was not limited to blasphemy alone. It included reparation for the Lord's Day, the profanation of the Lord's Day. So it isn't an isolated event. It is the beginning of something that will appear again.
I mean, I just to that kind of goes along with what we were saying before, that you have this beautiful weaving of the tapestry of the large threads and the small threads, right, coming together to present to the church a teaching which is grounded both in the magisterium of the church that is given the authority to instruct, and in the little soul who receives these personal locutions from Christ, instructing her independent of that magisterium, right? Not in opposition to one another, but really as a manner of being able to confirm all of us in our faith, because this is obviously an element that was close to the heart of the church, and one that needed to be tended to, given, the state of the world. We've never really recovered from this time period. We are still struggling mightily in the aftermath of this essentially communist revolution, right? That began to undermine the church, and really feels like at some point today, like certain points, is succeeding, right? We know that it will not triumph. We know that our Lord's Sacred Heart is going to triumph, and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart is going to triumph. But there are many reparations that are required of us because our Lord and Our Lady are so grievously offended by so many sins. And this beautiful image is really a profound invitation from God to gaze upon him, to see the man that we have wounded, who still looks upon us, with a heart of love, right? We have so much, so many things that we ought to be saying we're sorry for, even if it's not a personal sin, so much that we can do for those who don't even know that they're offending someone.
Very true. Within this devotion, our Lord did not only call for reparation. He also attached specific promises to those who would honor his holy face and take up his work. Listen carefully to what is claimed. All those who honor my face in a spirit of reparation will by so doing perform the office of the pious Veronica. According to the care they take in making reparation to my face, disfigured by blasphemers, so will I take care of their souls, which, having been disfigured by sin, my face is the seal of the divinity, which has the virtue of reproducing souls in the image of God. Those who by words, prayers, or writings defend my cause in this work of reparation, I will defend before my Father and will give them my kingdom. By offering my face to my eternal Father, nothing will be refused, and the conversion of many sinners will be obtained. By my holy face, they will work wonders, appease the anger of God, and draw down mercy on sinners. As in a kingdom, they can procure all that is desired with a coin stamped with the king's effigy. So in the kingdom of heaven, they will obtain all they desire with the precious coin of my holy face. Those who on earth contemplate the wounds of my face shall in heaven behold it radiant with glory. They will receive in their souls a bright and constant irradiation of my divinity, that by their likeness to my face they shall shine with particular splendor in heaven. I will defend them, I will preserve them, and I assure them of final perseverance. This is not just sentiment, and it's not just general encouragement. It is a defined claim about what follows from a defined response.
Yeah, I think that that goes back to what we were saying before, that at the very beginning, that the engagement with our Lord is not esoteric. There is a concrete weight that is attached to this relationship that we are engaged in. And these promises are not just pie in the sky ideas, right? I think that we oftentimes really disconnect ourselves from the fact, we become very complacent in our own arrogance, particularly in the modern world where we don't really go to a church anymore, right? Obviously people will go to a church, but in general, we are going to a church that reflects ourself, right? We're no longer seeking out truth per se. We're seeking out churches that confirm us in whatever truth we're living in. And so we become very jaded. It's as though we are becoming very, very short-sighted, and we don't really believe that we've done anything that's bad enough to merit an eternal punishment. And yet, The reality is that man put their own God to death. And even if that is the only thing that humanity has done collectively, is to put their savior to death on a cross, none of us after that would merit anything but the worst eternal punishment. So these promises about, particularly the one that always gives me such great hope, is that a surety of a grace of a final perseverance. That to me is so profoundly beautiful. Our Lord is the Good Shepherd. We just heard these readings, right? And just at this time of the church calendar, who goes out and seeks the lost sheep, leaving the 99 because he does not want to lose anyone. Right. And he says that to our Lord, I did not lose any of my sheep. Right. So we have this beautiful promise of our Lord that if we engage with this devotion honestly, that there is a very concrete promise that he will be faithful to us. You know, we are so faithful in such small things, you know, to look upon his holy face every day. To tell him that we love him, right? To try and conform our lives more to his own is such a great, I mean, it's a small thing for us, but the promises are so astoundingly beautiful, and we have to believe that they're real.
That's right. Till the next time, my friends, be nice. I brought you.